Myth number two, Ken. And this is seems tailor-made for the postmodern mind. Here it is. You can make the Bible prove anything because its teachings are really just a matter of interpretation.
It's been around for a long time. I mean, I think one of our temptations these days is to blame everything on postmodernism. That may be a bit of a mistake, obviously. The desire to make the Bible say what we want it to say is actually quite old. There's the old joke about W.C. Fields in the hospital, never known as a particularly religious man, but a friend walked in and found him reading the Bible. And he said, "Bill, what are you doing?" And W.C. Fields says, "I'm looking for loopholes." You don't want to hear my W.C. Fields impression.
No, please not.
But, you know, that's the idea. People have been trying to get around the text for years. There's an old saw that says, it's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me. It's the things I do understand that bother me. Postmodernism complicates this whole business, obviously, in all sorts of ways. But I hasten to add that still, with all the postmodern philosophy and sort of pop psychology and philosophy that we get, still, no one acts this way in daily life. I mean, you'd never read the newspaper and, you know, read an item about a traffic accident or anything else and say, well, that's really open to all sorts of interpretations. You can make that article mean anything. You wouldn't say that about some legal document you're interested in, like your last will and testament. You wouldn't take that approach if you're reading the instructions to install a new appliance in your house and you're reading up how to do this safely so you don't get shocked or something. If somebody came along and said, well, that's open to all sorts of interpretations, you just laugh at them. Well, also in Scripture, Peter said, and we quoted it here a few minutes ago, no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. The prophets themselves could not suit God's word just to suit their own fancy.
So give us, if we shouldn't do the W.C. Fields reading of Scripture looking for loopholes, and I want to come back to that a little bit later, but we shouldn't do that. Give us some hints for how we ought to rightly handle Scripture, how we ought to rightly read Scripture.
Well, first of all, we ought to read Scripture in light of its main theme and purpose. Some people do this with mystery novels by looking ahead to the end and seeing how it all turns out, and then they're able to read the rest of the book, go through, say, the second half of it, understanding, oh, this is why this happened, and this is why this guy left the room when he left the room. Well, we have been given, in the gospel, especially passages like John 3:16, you know, the gospel in a nutshell, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we've been given the basic story. And Jesus insists on this himself. He said to people about the Old Testament, these are the scriptures that testify about me. Walking on the road to Emmaus with two disciples on that first Easter, it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Peter, preaching in the book of Acts, says, all the prophets testify about him, that is Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins in his name. Or the very last verse in John 20, talking about what the whole book of John is about. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's the main purpose, the main theme of the scriptures, and if we're reading it trying to find something else, we're barking up the wrong tree.
A little more than 1 minute for this last question in this half of our conversation, Ken. How does knowing that the Bible is God's word in human language help us to approach it?
Well, several things. First of all, we want to read these words knowing that they come from God. Read them for all they're worth. Not the way you read the newspaper in the morning, more like the way you read a love letter. So you want to look at every word, and you want to interpret it exactly as the author meant it. You take literal things in a literal way, figurative things in a figurative way. Second, the fact that the Bible is God's word means that Scripture is going to be the best interpreter of Scripture, because God knows better and can tell us better what he means than anyone else. And then the fact that the Bible is God's word means that this word to us has a claim on us. The scripture is like a letter that God has written to us, like that love letter, but it never really leaves the author. He comes right with it. And so St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "We thank God for this, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers."